Good morning. I just want to open in prayer. I'm so glad to see everybody here. So why don't you pray with me? Father God, we just, again, want to just commit this morning to you. We gather here in your name, Lord, and we pray, Father, that you would be glorified, Lord, in the things that are said, things that are shared, not just up here with the three of us, but as we go to our small groups too. Lord, we just love you, and we just ask for your spirit to just move and soften our hearts and open our hearts to hear what you would have for each one of us today. Thank you, Jesus. In your name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Welcome. It's good to see everyone here this morning. Before we get started, I just want to do a recap of what Judy spoke about the last couple of weeks. Of course, we know the study is based on Matthew 11, verses 28 through 30, and where the Lord is just beckoning us to come to him and to rest in him. And so the subject matter the last 2 weeks was based upon the subject of fear. Is it possible to rest in the Lord even when fear, or we may have things in our lives that might even warrant fear? So, you know, I think the subject matter of fear just affects all of us in various degrees and in various ways in our lives. But, you know, like Judy brought out that the fears in our lives may very well be a reality. But she just kept encouraging us to really focus on and remember the greater reality, and that is that Jesus Christ, he is with us, and how important it is to keep that in mind. She encouraged us to just go to him daily. She encouraged us to just have lives of prayer and seeking him through his word, just pressing into him. Both weeks, she mentioned Oswald Chambers and his quote, "Calculating without God," and how we can get ourselves into quite a fix when we do that. But she's saying, put God into the equation every time. He equals everything. And so then she challenged us with, who do you run to first? And that's an excellent question, because I know that's been something that's been, you know, in my life. Who am I going to go to? Is it going to be a family member? Is it going to be a close friend? Is it going to be someone that I can just reach out to? Or is it going to be the Lord? Because he is calling us to himself. He wants to be in that first place in our lives. So last week, she went over Psalm 91, and I love that he who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. And Judy brought out the point that if you're in a shadow, that is a real indicator you're close. You're close to him. And abiding in him, and what that means, dwelling, the dwelling place. He's our refuge. He's our fortress. And even brought up John chapter 15, and how over and over in John chapter 15, how the Lord calls us to abide in him. And she also brought up about facing our fears, and that we're not to run, but that the Lord would just ask us to just come to him with those fears and to focus on the greater reality of Jesus Christ. So we as the panel are going to be just covering what the Lord has laid on our hearts concerning the last couple of weeks. And for me, as I sought the Lord on this, he made it very, very clear what he wanted me to cover. And it is the subject matter of facing my fears and not running, but facing them. And what I called years ago, diving in head first, because I knew at that point even that the word of God is what would set me free. But fear can just be so gripping. I'm going to just share one aspect of how fear affects our lives. We are limited in our time, so we all could tell stories about how fear affects us. But I actually went to, years ago, a Bible study, and the subject matter was having faith in God versus allowing the fears in your life to take its grip and dictate how your life is run. And it was not all that long ago, I was going through some old papers, and I found my notes from that old Bible study. And it's interesting because the instructor had us list out, what's your biggest fears? Well, I had listed my top fear at the time as public speaking. And so, anyway, that's kind of interesting to look back on. But as I went through this study, the Lord really showed me that he wanted me to press into him, that he wanted me to look to the word, that the answer to my fears was going to be through him and by his spirit showing me and highlighting his word to set me free. So it's interesting. I got out of that study, and I would say within just a couple, maybe couple years, the Lord started to place a call on my life. Well, I knew it was a call of the Lord because everywhere I'd turn, there it was. And it was for a very specific avenue of ministry that he wanted me to step forward in faith. Well, my response was, yes, Lord, I'll do that someday. And just delaying, I always had reasons. I had reasons that I wasn't going to do it, but he kept calling me. And in essence, I was disobeying the Lord. And he wound up bringing me to a place that he was going to teach me some things that I really needed to know. Not only to overcome my fears, but to be in the right place for using me. So I went to there was a place in my life that came about where I was at a time of physical affliction. The psalmist said, before I was afflicted, I went astray. And where I would say physically, I was at a very low point. It was really hard for me. And I would say I was the lowest of low. I even, in times, was joking and saying, I feel like I'm lower than a snake in a wagon track. I just was very low. But I'll tell you what, that's not a bad thing. Sometimes we're afraid of those kind of things, but that's not a bad place to be. Because that's where the Lord causes us to listen up. That's where we will hear him. So, facing my fear, new iPad here, gonna get it figured out. So, what the Lord showed me was that there was one particular day I was crying out to him, and I was praying, and on my coffee table there was this old antique Bible, and it had been in my dad's family probably since the early 1800s. And I picked it up, and I opened it. And I'm not one to just open the Bible and just, you know, zero in on a specific, oh, that's for me. But that day, I did happen to open that Bible while I was just crying out to God. And I opened it to Zechariah, and I opened it to chapter 4. And my eyes fell down to where all those years ago it had been marked, and it was verse 6. And it says, this is the word of the Lord to Zerubbabel, not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord of hosts. And at the time I said, Lord, honestly, I know this applies, but I don't know how. What are you trying to show me? And he brought me to, through this time of trial, showed me that this physical place where I was at was to be a picture for me of where I am at spiritually all the time. And that is a place of where I have to realize that I am entirely weak. He's my creator. He's the potter. I'm simply a vessel that he is going to work in and through. I'm dust. I bring nothing to the table. It's not my ingenuity. It's not my wisdom. It's not my righteousness. I have none of those things. But it is him and him alone. So, he needs to be our all in all. And he had to bring me to that place. that I was, I was really held up by my flesh. I was held up by my fears, but I had the fears because I was trusting in my flesh, that somehow my flesh was going to get me through. But he had to show me that I was completely unable on my own, but that I had to trust in him entirely. So 2 Corinthians 12:9, Judy brought up last week. And I love that passage where Paul says, but he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for power is perfected in weakness. Therefore, I will most gladly boast all the more about my weaknesses, so that Christ's power may reside in me. My focus on my so-called ability was really hindering the work that he was calling me to, and he had to show me. So I thank him for it. As hard as it was a very, very difficult time for me. But he was calling me, trust me, and I will see you through. Psalm 64:1, David cries out to the Lord, and he says, hear my voice, O God, in my meditation. Preserve my life from fear of the enemy. And I love that passage because here he has Saul hot on his trail, and he's not saying, Lord, preserve me from Saul. Preserve me from my enemy. He's saying, preserve me from the fear of my enemy. And I love his focus there. And I think that's where the Lord would have us be. David really realized that the fear of the enemy can be as debilitating and as destructive as an all-out assault of his enemy. In fact, maybe more so. Because when we're trusting in our ability to get through the situation, we're not counting on God to go to battle for us. So when we can lay our fears aside and just trust that he's going to walk in front of us and do all of that, then we can go boldly in the name of the Lord. So Mark chapter 4, verses 35 through 41, I brought up about 3 weeks ago, and it's about Jesus and the disciples and on the boat and crossing the lake, and a big storm hits, and Jesus is sound asleep, and I love that. But I've been thinking about it and even praying about it more just this last week. Kind of interesting that they all had what Judy kept talking about. We all have maybe the reality of certain situations that can trigger fear in our lives. Well, they all had that same reality. Jesus had the same outer reality. That storm was as real to him as it was to them, in the respect that that was their reality. But their inner reality was very much a storm also with the disciples, where Jesus Christ did not have that in common with them, because he is the greater reality. And see, then through time, they realized that it is through him who would calm the storm. I think that our fears many times will just expose that we have a misplaced trust. Is it the boat that I'm trusting in? Is it my ability that I'm trusting in? The list can go on. But I think it's just a thing that we can, get our focus off. But if our trust is in Christ alone, our fears will fade, and we can experience his rest. So I want to encourage you, if you have issues with really battling fear, there's no greater study than to just look at the sovereignty of God and to just really focus in on the fact that he is all powerful and that he just has full authority over everything. And that he is entirely in control. So I did say yes to his call. And I did step forward. And interestingly enough, it did involve public speaking. And I'll tell you, there's various verses he gave me to go to. And one was 2 Corinthians 3:5, that it's not that we are competent in ourselves to consider anything as coming from ourselves, but our competence is from God. And then a couple other versions use the word sufficiency, or we'll use the word adequacy. I'm not adequate. I'm not sufficient. It's God who's my sufficiency. So when I get up to speak to a group, do I have butterflies? The answer is yes, I definitely do. But I just pray. It's like, Lord, would you just get them all flying in the same direction? And I also do not approach him by rote and just saying these scriptures. But with all my heart, I go to him and I just say, Lord, it's not by might. It's not by power. But it is by your spirit alone. It's the only reason that I can be here. You know, he equips us, and we can just trust him for that. We can rest in him.
If you could only see all the butterflies back here between the three of us, I mean, that they're probably bumping into each other.
Yeah, but they're going the right direction.
Okay, good. I found out who the Lord was through my fears. I was gripped by fear. I was at a point where I couldn't leave my house. I could get my kids out the door, but I needed some healing, and I had deep, deep scars. Well, no, they were still wounds. And it was, it got to the point where I was physically ill all over the place, going from doctor to doctor, stomach, neck, head, every part of my body. I was going to doctor to doctor to doctor. But I was also, in hindsight, I can see, I was starting to trust that I needed to heal from my childhood. And this was becoming so apparent, I wasn't able to function hardly at all as a mom. That's what brought it to me. I wasn't functioning as a mom, nor wife. But so without too many more details, time goes on, and it really came to the point that I was so afraid of everything that I was sitting in the chair praying, and I was starting to figure out if I was going to trust God with this or not. And I'm very visual, and I had my eyes closed, and I was praying, and I was so afraid, and I felt myself becoming physically ill. My eyes are closed, though, but I'm just feeling like physically I'm going to have the flu right there in front of everybody. Well, and what the Lord showed me was, this was a large black outdoor trash bag. You know, they're big. They're like the hefty hefties, the big ones. And I just began to heave. Sorry for the graphics, but it was, I just needed to get it out. And I became so ill. I was getting relief, but ill. And so I had this bag. It's like, oh, what do I do with this? And I see myself, I'm holding out the bag, and it's like, take it out to the garage. That's where your trash cans are. So I'm just pulling this big, full black trash bag out to my garage, because that's where our trash cans were. And I'm afraid of the bag. I'm afraid of it. So I, this part is kind of comical. I kind of like, woo, because it was so heavy, and it lands in the trash can, and I put the lid down, and the lid's flopping off. And I'm so afraid that that trash can's going to come back and open again. So it's like, okay, let's get it. Take it out to the curb, Tawny. Take the trash can out to the curb. So I'm afraid of this trash can, but I'm taking it out to the curb. The lid's flapping up and down, and what I don't realize at the moment is that I'm afraid that it's going to be him. He's going to come back, and he's going to hurt me again. And all that stuff that's in that trash bag is going to come back on me again. So I get it out to the curb, and I just want to run. I just want to run. And then the Lord said, look down the street. I look down the street, and here comes the trash man. And in that time, it was before those, you know, the, you know, and it does it for you. There was a guy that was actually riding on the back of the garbage truck. And Jesus was the garbage man. Jesus was the garbage man. And so I turned and I walked back in the house. And that fear, I had to release my fear. It might not be in that way for you. But that's where the Lord took me to purge, because I was carrying it around. It was affecting everything in my life. I based all my decisions on fear. And it will take over your life. And I totally just went off the beaten track from whatever I ever wrote down. So Isaiah 61 was very important to me then, and it still is now. It reads, "Because the Lord has appointed me, who is Jesus, to preach good tidings to the poor, he sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to those who are bound." Fear starts many times from a broken heart, from a broken place in you. And you need to be liberated, because it will hold you captive. It does. It could be physical. It could be emotional. You need to be set free. And it is a prison. And Jesus will open the prison. And so what happens is this fear, it becomes your little idol. And that demands attention. So you're always feeding your idol. You're protecting your idol. You're setting yourself up. And you're wasting so much of your time on what you're going to do, how you're going to protect yourself. Idols keep you from God. And I had to choose. And this is where I found God. I have so many verses highlighted in my Bible. Most of them are about fear. And it would take all day for me to read them to you. It really would. And it says that God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and love and a sound mind. Well, my mind was not sound. It probably isn't real sound right now either. But it tells me that this is what God wants for me. He has this for me. So what do I know to be true? When that fear starts gripping me, you have to think, what do I know to be true? That has happened. I literally had to look in the mirror and say, I am not a little girl anymore. And it was very obvious how old I was by what I saw in the mirror. But you have to tell yourself, what do we know to be true? And do I believe God or not? Has he given me a sound mind? Does he want to enable me to live a life of freedom? God has the power. I have this choice. I have a choice. No weapon formed against you shall prosper, it says. And every tongue which rises against you in judgment you shall condemn. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, and their righteousness is from me. Isaiah 54. And I thought, really? No weapon. So as you release your fears to the Lord, you claim his promises. You have to decide who you're going to believe. And I had a choice. And it's like Judy said, and Judy has mentioned dwelling with him, because you're not going to trust somebody you don't know, especially with the deepest wounds of your heart. It just won't happen. You can fake it, but what you do is you live in the past, because everything is surrounded by that past of yours, and you'll miss, because life goes on. Your children move on. Your husband wants you to move on, and you do not receive the abundant life that God has promised you, because you've got this thing, this excuse to not live anymore. And it can be those things. So there's a lot of yeah buts. Yeah, but it could happen again. Yeah. What if this happens? I know. But the Lord is good. He has good things. He wants you to be whole, and you can't be whole if you're still hanging on to things from the past.
Well, I have a story, of course. I grew up with so many stories that I just love it when you, I'm sitting and listening to Judy, and I'm thinking, oh my gosh, this so applies. But the Lord kind of had me go more towards a mom's heart and how we teach our children not to fear. And as you all know, I grew up in Zimbabwe, and I was born there and I left when I was 17, so a lot of experiences there. And I think you also know, if you've heard my stories, that we did have a terrorist war that started in 1965. So, I mean, now that it's kind of coming a little closer to America, you kind of get a sense of what that was like. But as the Israelis, you don't stop just because there's things going on. Life has to continue. And one year, we were guessing it was about 1972 or 3 or something like that, we were going to go on a holiday, and we were going to go towards the Mozambique border. And Mozambique was already a lot of problems, but you just go anyway type of thing. So we had a 1960 Chevy Biscayne, and we packed that thing to the hilt, and literally so that even the floorboards were packed. So as kids were sitting crisscross applesauce, you know, in their seat, and the boot was full in the back, the trunk, and we were going to go camping. And so off we went, and, you know, the further out of town you go, the further it gets more and more rural and more bush and less city and everything. And so at about a couple hours out, the retread came off the tire. And so my dad had to pull over, and we're out in the middle of literally nowhere, and pulled over, and everything had to come out of the trunk because the spare tire was at the bottom of the trunk. And so poor dad. And so then he, you know, changed the tire, and then we had to repack everything and somehow get it all. Somehow you never get it back in the same. And so there was a few more things in the car, and so we were driving along, and then at some point we needed to get some petrol, some gas, and so we stopped at a station and filled up. And as we filled up, my dad wanted to start the car, and the car didn't want to start. So we were just, you know, I'm sure for my parents it must have been really hard, because we're guessing my sister must have been 3, and that makes me about 8, and my brother about 7. So we were little, and anyway, so he asked the attendant, you know, where can we get the car fixed? And back then it was one of those things, well, if you drive down this road here, and then you see a baobab tree, and then you need to make a right, and then by that little fence post, you need to make a left and go about 2 miles, you know, so those were the directions. But my dad did manage to get the car started, but I think they also realized that they had to get it fixed before we could go anywhere. So he decided to go to this mechanic that was literally in Timbuktu out in the bush. And so we're driving along, and finally my dad finds this place, and it literally is like, you know, the old pole and mud hut. And it had a little roof on it, you know, and there was a workbench in the back, and that was the garage that we were going to fix the car. So we drive in there, and we stop. And so my dad, there was a couple Africans that come out, and they want to start fixing the car. So my dad's talking with them, and so my mom and us 3 kids are in the car, and of course dad gets out and you lock the car because, you know, you just don't know, and you just have to, you know, protect yourself and be careful. And I'm sure for my mom and dad, it probably wasn't a very comfortable environment. And anyway, so my dad's out, and he's with a couple Africans, and they're underneath, you know, the bonnet, and they're fixing the car, and it starts getting dark. And so it's quite dark now. So now you can imagine my mom sitting in the car with 3 kids, and my dad is like with a, I'm going to use all these words because they're fun, a torch, you know, a flashlight, and they're trying to fix the starter motor with the flashlight, and so at some point, and it took hours, he finally comes back into the car, and he's just furious because they had put everything back together except for one spring, and they didn't know where it went, type of thing. So he goes back out, and so they're back under the hood, you know, and so they have to put it all back together and try to put that little spring back in. Well, at some point in this, I mean, you can imagine how it is sitting in the car in the pitch black in an environment that's absolutely not safe. And And, you know, as kids, and we've been sitting crisscross applesauce in this tiny, you know, little space, and we're trying to get along, and, you know, and my mom is obviously trying to deal with everything, and my dad is obviously trying to get the car working, and it's pretty uncomfortable. And I remember being uncomfortable. And then my mom starts getting the giggles. And I think she just kind of saw the irony of it, you know, of us like, oh my gosh, you know, and she started laughing. And then before you know it, the whole inside of the car, we were all laughing and giggling. And I just remember that so well, that she really did overcome all of our fears with laughter and having a light heart. And it was a really big thing. It's one of those things that just stuck in my brain. You know, it just really, really stayed there. And I think that's how, even though they weren't believers, but that's how we should be as moms and as aunties and as grandparents, that, you know, we can overcome every situation that we're in when we just bring the Lord into it, like bringing that laughter into the car. And, you know, how much stress that just relieved for all of us, even for my dad, just to know that, you know, the kids are okay, the wife's okay, we're going to be all right. And the end of the story was, we finally did make it to our campground, but I think it was like 2 a.m. So we're trying to pitch our tent and, you know, and this, and of course, you know, and it was a great time. But I really think that it's so important that we as those maternal people, that we have all these children in our lives, that we do teach that God is sovereign. You know, that he is our provider, that he is our all in all. And that we as moms, just like my mom did, that we provide and that we demonstrate that ourselves. Because how can we help our children if we don't live that way ourselves? And I think especially, you know, nowadays, I think for you younger moms, you know, like Judy said, if you listen to the news, you can get really bogged down by it. You know, you could really think, oh my gosh, how am I going to raise my children in this day and age with all of this stuff going on? And I was just wanting to really encourage you moms. You know, we've all shared the same thing, but, you know, you really need to get the Lord just number one focused in your life, that when these fears come, and they do come, you know, that we can just totally just flip them around and give them over to the Lord, that we don't live in it, that we have the garbage man just go ahead and take it away. And I think that, you know, with little kids, I'm thinking about my own children and how many times they would come to you with a fear, whether it's Judy's brother, you know, with the goblins that are hanging off the ceiling. I personally had snakes under my bed. They were cobras, and you know, you had to make the flying leap, you know, but all of those fears for those little kids are so real, and they should be able to come to you and go, you know, I'm so afraid of this. And it's like, you know what? That's okay. We all are afraid, but, and that we always share the Lord with these kids, that we pray with them, that we let them see that they don't need to be afraid, that the Lord does really have it all covered, and that he really is going to provide, and he is going to take care of all of those things. But moms and grandmas and aunties, we need to be there ourselves first, that we don't live in fear, and that our children are watching us be afraid of all the things that hit us. We all have a story. We all have things that are going on, but it's so important to reflect who the Lord is in our lives. And I think that the biggest thing is that when I, you know, have had some medical and issues and news just for myself, and you think, okay, Lord, so not why like this, but, you know, what is it that I'm supposed to do with where I am? And the answer that he gave me is that we are supposed to give him the glory no matter what. So no matter what comes our way, that we always give him the glory. And I think living in fear and having a fear factor in your life does not give God that glory. And so that we just continually, even though it hits us and it hits all of us, it's not like we're immune to those, but that we just say, Lord, I'm going to give you the glory in this and just turn it over to him. But how important it is for us to teach our children in this, that the earliest age that they realize, yeah, this is scary, but Jesus has got it in control, and it really is going to be okay. Just like my mom in that car, and just being able to laugh at the fear and just to know that it's going to be all right. So just really encourage you, and again, especially you young moms, that you teach and train your children to trust in the Lord and to just let them pray with you. Just pray with them. Just encourage them. God's got this all figured out, and it's going to be all right. And I read Spurgeon the other day, and it talked about a man without fear, and I just took a chunk out of it, and the scripture verse was Exodus 3:12. And it says, and he said, certainly I will be with thee. And I love the word certainly. It's not maybe or just sometimes, but it really is certainly. And I really love that. And Spurgeon goes on to say, of course, if the Lord set Moses on an errand, he would not let him go alone. In my case also, the same rule will hold good. If I go upon the Lord's errand with a simple reliance upon his power and a single eye to his glory, it is certain that he will be there with me. His sending me binds him up to back me up. Is this not enough? What more can I want? If all the angels and archangels were with me, I might fail. But if he is with me, I must succeed. Only let me take care of that I act worthily towards this promise. Let me not go timidly, half-heartedly, carelessly, or presumptuously. What manner of a person ought he to be who has God with him? In such company, It behooveth me to play the man and, like Moses, go unto Pharaoh without fear. Let's just pray. Lord, I just thank you that you are going to meet us. And Father, that you are waiting to walk this road of life with us, Lord. And no matter what story we have, whether it's fear of health or fear of another person or fear of the future, Father, you have all of these already just sitting in the palm of your hand and already taken care of. Father, I pray that every woman here would just come to know you, just come to be closer to you, Lord, that when these things come up, that she would just lay them at your feet, truly lay them at the feet, not pick them back up again, but just lay them there. Help us, Lord, as mothers and as grandmothers and aunties and all these children that we have in our lives, that we could be examples. Father, that we could just show the strength, your strength that you've given us, Lord, that we can be true great examples for these children, that they can look to us and see you, Father, well represented. Lord, I just thank you for today. I thank you for this whole lesson on fear, Lord. Every one of us just, this is such a truth that is so real. Lord, I just pray for these little groups now that we go into, that you would just bless the woman, Father, I pray that our prayers would be a sweet aroma, Lord. Lord, we look forward to what you're going to do in our lives and answering these prayers. So, Father, just keep us all safe until we meet again. In Jesus' name, we pray. Amen.